This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with our special Christmas series called God's Great Christmas Gift to You. We are so glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us celebrating the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now in just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a copy of the brand new Daily Hope 2020 Prayer Journal based on the theme, Growing Your Prayer Life, a great resource to help you make your time in prayer the best it can be. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called, Next Time It Will Be Different.
Now, what I want to focus on are the three different purposes. Because why Jesus came the first time and why he's coming back are completely different. You need to know this. You need to understand this. Number one, the first time Jesus came, he came to save the world. He's not coming back to save the world. But let's focus on this first. Jesus came to save the world. The most famous verse in the Bible is John chapter 3, verse 16. You've seen athletes write it under their eyes on the football field. You've seen in posters. You've seen it on every in and out drink cup. John 3:16 is right there at the bottom. It's John 3:16 is the most famous verse in the Bible. Literally billions of people have memorized John 3:16 and 17 throughout history. Why? Because it's the Bible in a nutshell. It explains why Jesus came to earth at Christmas the very first time. There it is on your outline, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world. Everything God does, he does because he loves you. He is a God of love. He created you to love. He created you to be loved and to learn to love him back. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What's the premise? You gotta believe. What's the promise? Eternal life. Every promise has a premise. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. Now this is why we celebrate Christmas. At the very first Christmas, the angels come and they announce to the shepherds, I bring you good news, not bad news. I bring you good news of great joy. It's going to make you happy, not sad. I bring you good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior for you has been born. Now listen, the only way you and I are getting into heaven is through a Savior. Because heaven's perfect and we stopped being perfect a long time ago. There's no way I'm getting into heaven without a Savior. If God thought that we didn't need a Savior, believe me, he wouldn't have wasted the time to send his son and die on the cross. Don't you think if there were any other way for you to get into heaven than have somebody die for your sins, God would have done it? There's no way you're getting into heaven without a Savior. You can't save yourself. Shoot, you can't even solve your own problems, much less save yourself. God is God, and you're not. And so a Savior has been born for you. That's good news. That's why he came the first time. He came to save us so that we could know him and so that we could live in him and so we can go to heaven and be with him forever. God created you. He wants to save you, and he wants you with him in heaven. But you have to make that choice. Unfortunately, many people say, no, thanks, God. I don't need a Savior. I'm just going to save myself. How's that going for you? I'm just going to be my own God. I don't need a Savior. I don't need God. No, thank you very much. I'm going to be my own God. You know what keeps people out of heaven? Not this sin, that sin. It's pride. Pride is what keeps people out of heaven. For them to say, I don't need God in my life. I don't need a Savior. He sent one, but I don't need him. And because of that, the next time Jesus comes back, he's not coming to save. The people who've been saved will have already been saved because they trusted in him. First time, Jesus came to save the world. Next time, he's coming to judge the world. He's coming back to say, which of those two choices did you make? To trust me or to not trust me? To follow me or to not follow me? To love me or to not love me? To live for me or to live for yourself? Which of those two choices do you make? You get the choice. When Jesus comes back, he will either be your savior or he will be your judge. It's your choice. God doesn't make that choice. You make that choice. He's coming back to judge the world. Now, there are a lot of people who think they're getting away with stuff because it's a secret. They go, nobody knows what I've done. Don't you think God knows? God knows every breath you've taken, every tear you've shed. He knows your highs and lows. He knows the good, bad, and the ugly. There's nothing in your life that's a secret. And the Bible says one day there is going to be a day of accountability. There is going to be a day of judgment. Because God is not just a God of love, he's a God of justice, which means if something's not fair, he's going to correct it. And if something's not right, he's going to punish it. And if there's evil out there, he's going to defeat it. Here's what the Bible says on the screen, Acts chapter 17. God has set a day when the entire human race, that's all of us, will be judged with justice. If you're taking notes, circle that phrase, judged with justice. God is a fair justice. Humans aren't. Even the courts sometimes get it wrong. But God is totally impartial. He's totally he's totally just. He will judge the entire race, human race, with justice and set everything right. All the stuff that's wrong, he's going to set right. And God has already appointed the judge, confirming him before everyone by raising him from the dead. Who do you think he's talking about? Who's the one person been raised from the dead? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be my judge and your judge. Why? Because he was first our Savior, and then he's our judge to see, did you accept my salvation or did you reject it? Were you prideful or were you humble? Now, God is not just a loving God, as I said. He's just and fair. That means wrongs must be righted, evil must be punished. Why is there evil in the world? God allows evil in the world right now to give you a choice. If you had no choice to reject God, then you couldn't say you really loved God. So God is allowing evil to give everybody a choice. Do I want to go God's way or do I want to go my own way? Do I want to go the devil's way? Do I want to go the world's way? God gives us a choice. He's not going to force anybody to love him. He loves you, but he wants you to choose to love him back. And so wrongs have to be righted. Evil has to be punished. You've probably noticed by now that life is not fair. Have you figured that one out? I mean, you could have been born in another part of the world where you don't even have clothes to wear and food to eat. It wasn't luck, but life is unfair. And a lot of times you'll look at things out there and you'll see that the bad guys often win. And people do wrong things and hurt others and they get away with it. And you look at them and you go, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's unjust. When you see racism and prejudice and discrimination, that's not fair. Why do you have a sense of justice in you? Because God made you in his image. And God is a just God. That's why you have a sense of justice in you. And you instinctively go, that's not fair. That's not right. That's wrong. Because you're made in God's image. And God, cows don't have a sense of justice. Birds don't have a sense. Only human beings, because we're made in God's image. And so one day at his second coming, Jesus is going to come back and he's going to right all the wrongs. He's going to right all the wrongs that have been done throughout history. The racism, the bigotry, the betrayal, the abuses, the unfairness, the evil. In fact, here's what the Bible says, Romans chapter 2. God, this is when he comes back. God will reward or punish. You're going to get to choose whether you get the reward or the punishment. God will reward or punish every person for what that person has done. For those who have lived for God's glory and honor, God will reward them with life forever. That's in heaven. But for those who continue to live for themselves and reject the truth and follow evil instead of obeying God, they'll receive God's anger and punishment. Now, that's my choice. It's not anybody else's choice. It's my choice, and it's your choice. So you get to choose when Christ comes back. Will he be your Savior, or will he be your judge? Now, I know some of you may be thinking, well, you know, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be punished or rewarded. You know, I've been selfish. I haven't always obeyed God. Well, welcome to the club. That's 100% of us. Anybody here ever done everything right in their life? Everybody never had a bad thought, never done a bad thing, never hurt anybody? No, we all know we're flawed. We all know that we've blown it. We've made mistakes. I honestly, I've never met anybody in my life. I've been in 164 countries. Never met anybody that goes, I'm perfect. I don't measure up to my own standards, much less God's perfect standard. So you go, well, I wonder what's going to happen to me. Well, the good news is you can settle that today. And at the end of this service, you can make Jesus Christ your Savior so that he will not be your judge one day. So here's the next one, number six, the different purposes. In the first coming of Jesus, Jesus came to die for our sins. That's why he came the first time. That's good news. He came to die for our sins so I don't have to die for them. And so you don't have to die for them. That's why he loves you so much. He is just. I deserve to pay for all the things I've done wrong. You deserve to pay for all things you've done wrong. But God loves you so much that I'm going to pay your penalty. I'm going to pay your ticket. I'm going to serve your time. I'm going to take the penalty for all the things you've done wrong because I love you. Ephesians chapter 1 in the Bible says this, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. Now leave that verse up there for a minute. Unchanging plan. This means before God created the entire universe, God had already thought about you. And God created the universe because he wanted to create earth so he could sustain human life, to create human race so he could create you, so he could love you. God wanted children. God wanted a family. The whole reason the universe exists is God wanted a family. But he wants a family that chooses to love him, so he puts us on earth and lets us have a choice. Why didn't God just make us and take us to heaven? Because then we would be automatons or puppets. We human beings have a free choice. And so he says God's unchanging plan from the very beginning was to adopt us into his family. Only God's family is going to be in heaven. Not everybody. Only God's family. So he could adopt us into his family by sending Christ to die for us. Now, if you got that verse on your outline, let's circle three words. Circle the word die. Jesus came to die for you, first time. Circle the word adopt, so he could adopt you. And then circle the word family. He wants you in his family. So the first time Jesus came, he came to die for our sins. He's not coming back the second time to do that. He's already done that. What's he coming back for the second time? He's coming back to gather his family and take us all to heaven. He's coming back to gather his family. And the Bible says it like this in Matthew 24. He, Jesus, will send his angels all around the earth, and they will gather his chosen people, that's his family, from every part of the world. And it's going to be billions who've put their trust in Christ. Billions of people will be a part of God's family. Now, who is in God's family? Well, not everybody. Not everybody. Everybody is created by God. Everybody is loved by God. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, or what you believe, you're loved by God. Everybody's created by God. Everybody's loved by God. God has a plan and purpose for everybody's life, but not everybody lives God's plan and purpose for their life. Not everybody accepts his son as Savior. Not everybody turns their life to him. Not everybody lives in a friendship with God. So everybody's loved and created by God, but not everybody's in the family. The only way you get in the family is by being adopted into it. How? When you say, Jesus Christ, I accept what you did for me, and I want to be in your family. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You're never going to deserve it. It's just a free gift of God's grace, but you do have to accept it. It's like if you were given a Christmas present, and a year from today, I said, how'd you like the present I gave you? You go, well, I'm sure it's great. I just didn't have time to unwrap it. Well, God gave you a Christmas present at Christmas. It's the gift of salvation, freedom, purpose, past forgiven, purpose for living, home in heaven. But a lot of people never unwrap the gift. And they're not a part of God's family. Not everybody's part. Who is God's family anyway? Look at the next verse. 1 Timothy chapter 3. God's family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Jesus said, I came to build my church. I came to build my family. God's family is the church. Now, out there may have all different kinds of names, Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, whatever, Lutheran, what, but it doesn't matter the label. It's his family, the people who put their trust in him. Not in the religion, but in him. And that is God's family. Now, you've heard people go, well, I like Jesus. I just don't need the church. Oh, how wrong you are. Because only the church is going to heaven. Only God's family is going to heaven. If you're not in God's family, you're not going to heaven. Now, we say, well, there are a bunch of hypocrites in the church. Well, there are hypocrites everywhere. I just want to be a saved hypocrite. Okay, you're telling me you always do what you say you'll do? No. The fact is, the reason we need a Savior is because everybody's a hypocrite. You say one thing and do another. Fortunately, God saves hypocrites. And they're all over. I just want to be with the saved group. Those are the people who admit, there are two kinds of people. People admit they don't have it together and admit it. And then those who don't have it together and don't admit it and live in denial. God's family is the church. You need to be a part of God's family. One other thing, the second coming difference from the first coming. Number seven, the first time Jesus came in humility. The first time when Jesus came at Christmas, he came in humility. It's not more humbling than to come be born a baby in a barn. It's hard to beat that one. He didn't come in royal robes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't come with a big procession of angels. He just came humbly. And do you realize how humbling it is for God to become a man, a human being? The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 2. Though he, Jesus, was God, he made himself nothing, taking on the humble position of a servant and becoming a human. And while living as a man, he humbled himself even further by obediently dying on a cross. For God to become a human being would be a humbling experience. And then to serve humanity and be willing to die for humanity, that's how much God loves you. So he came in a very humble way. When he comes back, at the end of history, he's not coming in humility. When he comes back, he's coming back in all his glory. Write this down. When he comes back, he's coming as King and Lord of all. King and Lord of all creation. King and Lord of all the universe. King and Lord of every human being. King and Lord of all.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. The theme is Growing Your Prayer Life. This vegan leather full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The Growing Your Prayer Life Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life. Connect with the Lord. Strengthen your prayer practice and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. By the way, this month only, any gift you give will be matched by a very generous couple up to $100,000. This match is only available until midnight on December 31st, so please contact us today. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you about an exciting new opportunity.
Hi, everybody. You know, as we come to the end of this year, one of the things that worries me the most is that there's still about 3,000 people groups, small tribes in the world, where there are no Bibles, no believers, and no body of Christ. We call these people the unreached, unengaged people groups, and it's one of the reasons we started Daily Hope, to take the good news to the final frontier. We need to make every effort to reach these people with a Bible, a believer, and a new church. Now, thanks to your support, we're being able to do this. Thanks to your support, we're now broadcasting on radio stations, literally, not just across America, but all around the world. We're in places like Rwanda and Uganda. We're in places like South Sudan, which has very, very little. Zambia, Korea, things like that. But we're also reaching even more people and more nations through the world with our Daily Hope podcast. Online, it goes literally to the whole world. Now, as we end this year, I want to express to you how much I appreciate your prayer support and your financial support of Daily Hope for this global effort. I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. And as you consider your year-end giving, I want to ask you to pray about giving a special gift to Daily Hope. Together, we're partners in going to the final frontier of people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is this. A generous friend of Daily Hope is offering at the end of the year a matching gift. That's a challenge gift, which means they will match whatever gift you give. In other words, whatever you give will be doubled because of their matching that gift. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be very bold this. Give the biggest gift you can possibly give at the end of the year, at this Christmas time. God gives his gift to us. We give our gifts back to him in Thanksgiving and in out of Christmas. We give our gifts to Jesus. It's his birthday. And when you do, it will be matched by a donor, doubling the impact of your gift. Thanks so much. And we're going to enjoy the end of the holiday seasons, and we're going to enjoy the new year together. God bless you.
And remember, all this month when you support Daily Hope, every dollar will be matched up to $100,000 till midnight December 31st. Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.